I'm Allison Ellsworth, and this is Win the Day with James Whitaker.
You're listening to Win the Day with James Whitaker.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Broadcasting from Los Angeles, California, here's your host, James Whitaker.
Let's go.
Hey, winners, welcome back to Win the Day. If this is your first time here, we sit down with some of the world's true change makers to give you all the tips, tools, and strategies to win the day every day. The quote for this episode comes from Ann Landers and says, "Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them." Our guest today is Allison Ellsworth, the co-founder and chief brand officer of Poppy, a delicious, better-for-you soda with clean ingredients and one that I'm very familiar with, as you'll learn more about soon. From local farmers markets to a Shark Tank deal, then retailers nationwide, Poppy quickly became one of the fastest growing non-alcoholic beverages in the US. Today, Allison leads the company's overall brand and creative strategy. She pioneered Poppy's digital first approach, attracting a loyal community of more than 650,000 followers and celebrity brand fans, including Billie Eilish, Russell Westbrook, Jennifer Lopez, and many more. With a viral TikTok account boasting over 2 billion views, continued retail expansion, and becoming the number one selling soda on Amazon, which is wild, Poppy is on a mission to revolutionize the soda experience for all. In this episode, we're going to talk about how Allison went from struggling with her health to leading the expansion of one of the fastest growing brands in the world, the best mindset and business tips for any entrepreneur who wants to get to their next level, how Allison and her husband, Stephen, are able to prioritize family as their careers skyrocket, and what it's like to successfully audition on Shark Tank while 9 months pregnant. Before we begin, the right bit of inspiration can completely change the trajectory of someone's life. So there's a friend or loved one out there who needs to hear this episode or could use some help to win the day. Share it with them right now. All right, let's win the day with Allison Ellsworth. Allison, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, how does it feel looking back after all the big wins you've had? Are you very much head down, business as usual, or have you ever taken a moment to sort of reflect on the journey you've had so far?
I think with how high growth Poppy is, I don't think I have a moment to do anything with three boys at home and with the business, absolutely not. But, you know, I should take that advice.
For sure. It seems like just diving into your story that persistence is one of the biggest things for you. Is there a story from when you were younger that really personifies of how persistent you have been your whole life?
You know, I think since a young age, I've always been told that I just kind of get what I want. And my dad always told us, yes, there was never no's in our household. It was like, dream big, go far. So I just have always had the mentality of I can do anything.
And book smart or street smart? Which do you identify with?
1,000% street smart. 1,000%.
How has that manifested for you over the years? Are there any stories where just doing, like diving into the books didn't really identify with you so much, or some other wins that you had being resourceful on your own?
Yeah. So I was a solid C student in all of really my education, right? But I was a dance fanatic. So I grew up dancing, which I think teaches a lot of just showing up, being a team member. It's very similar to sports, but it also allowed me to see the vision, the production, the end game, and how you get there and the hard work to get there. So it was like learning through a process that I creatively in my mind. So like, for example, I went to college for dance. One day I woke up and I was like, you don't really need a degree in dance to nor teach it or to dance professionally. And I was wanting to teach it. So I freaked out. I took a year off. I moved to Europe, no program. I just lived in Spain, found some roommates, ran out of money, and then came home. So it's like, I've always been that mentality of just like, learn through life, go jump in 2 feet and just kind of figure it out as you go. So street smarts all the way.
What about the power of relationships as well? I feel like being able to find the right people as well as being open to the right people to come across the path at the right time. Just relationships and resourcefulness and resilience, they're just really important traits and opportunities to help you on your, you know, figure out exactly who you are and help you get to where you want to be.
I think community is one of the most important things in life, right? The people you surround yourself with that are in your circle can either lift you up or bring you down. And I've always been a big believer in that at Poppy. So, you know, I talked to, you know, my dad, he was an entrepreneur himself. He was always saying yes, but I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, you weren't good enough or you couldn't do this. And I'm one of those big believers. I know this is bad, but I will cut that out of my life. Like, bye, you know, type of situation. You want to keep that mentality correct. correct. So throughout the years and when traveling in community, it's so important. And then always to give back to that community as well, for me to be a good steward and to lift up and mentor other people throughout the years as well.
We had Dr. Gabor Mate, who came on the show, and he spoke about Indigenous tribes. The one thing they had together was that community. And I thought that's so interesting that you specifically mentioned that word community, where everyone together is working to on what is it that the community needs and can benefit from, and what can we do to help everyone else to develop and then to be able to give back to the community. It's such an important thing, whereas so many people, like you sort of touched on there, are around people who aren't great for their mindset. And what's the point? If someone's making you feel crappy, what are you doing hanging around that person for?
Well, it's a big piece of why we're so successful on TikTok. I know you mentioned earlier, yes, 2 billion views. A lot of the content is me just on there talking to our community. And we feel it, right? If we have someone that's like, hey, what's your new flavor launch that's coming up? They're guessing. They're the ones commenting. They're coming back. They're searching, right? It's this community that we've built because we're real. We're authentic. I'm talking to them like they're human beings. It's not highly produced. So I think that that is a huge piece of why Poppy's so successful, is the community aspect.
Such an interesting part of your story is the oil and gas career. It sounds so random. Of course, you got the Texas roots, but oil and gas. What was an average day for you when you were in your oil and gas career?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about street smarts. So I lived on the road for about 7 years by myself, traveling the country. Yes, a young woman living in motels, up and down, driving. I've driven across the U.S. multiple times. I worked, and we used to like run different oil and gas projects. So I would go and I'd be the first one on site. I would work with the local community of, you know, the indigenous like Indian tribe or the BLM Bureau of Land Management or just the city council, and making sure that everything was set for before we came and did the research. And then I would do a lot of research in the history and the ancestry of the certain people in the town and get to know the farmers and the ranchers and get to know them. And I'd spend about a year or two on a project in a small town of like 3,000 people and build that community. So it's always been like a really big piece of what I've done and where I've really believed in. But while being on the road, you don't feel great traveling that much. And I kind of started feeling a little bit ill. My stomach was always hurting. I had horrible skin. I was tired all the time. And that's when I started going to doctors and they couldn't figure out what was going on with me. And then that's when I kind of came up with the process and with Poppy at that time.
Yeah. Travel used to be almost, the perception of it was that it was quite glamorous. But the people who are doing the travel, I know exactly what
it's
you mean.
Brutal.
Airports, planes, crappy hotel rooms. It takes such a massive toll on you physically and mentally.
Well, and just like eating, having access to good food. And even understanding, like, look, it's really easy nowadays, for example, if you want to be gluten-free. But 10 years ago, you'd get like a dirty look, right, type of situation. So like, this was like 10 years ago type of situation where you'd go and you'd be like, okay, the only thing in town is like a burger and fries again. Like, I can't do this. I need a salad or vegetables in my life. So I think just like while traveling, it's gotten better, but it's still a little bit lacking.
And what, so you then started Googling things on like digestive health and started taking apple cider vinegar. What prompted you to go from doing the research to being, you know, to putting your chef's hat on and start coming up with some concoctions of your own?
Yeah. So I started Googling like how to reset, detox your body. And I kept reading about apple cider vinegar, and I'd heard of the Master Cleanse, and my grandma told me to take a shot when I like had, you know, a cold or my throat hurt. But is what happened is I started drinking it and I loved the way it made me feel, but I didn't like the taste of straight vinegar. And I was like, look, this isn't sustainable. Like, I feel great, but I'm not going to do this every single day of my life for the next 10 years or something crazy. Like, sure, I'll do it for 2 weeks. So I was like, I have to figure out a way to make this taste good. My big passion in life is I love to spend all my free time in the kitchen. And so off I put my chef's hat on. And I remember like at one time you're drinking a raspberry rose. It's actually the first flavor I ever made in the kitchen. But I started simmering raspberries, or I was like, huh, how can I make this taste good? But what I started through that process realizing is it can be really high in sugar with fruit. So I came up with this process of infusing it and doing all these things. So I spent about 5 months doing that. And then I got to the point where my husband was like, wow, this is good. My neighbor shopkeepers were like, hey, can I buy this from you? And it was 100% still a hobby or just like a need of like, I'm obsessed with this. I want as many people to drink this as possible and feel as good as I do.
Yeah, you know, I was mentioning to you before we started recording that I think I must have been one of Poppy's earliest customers. I remember I was at Whole Foods. I was looking for something that just wasn't just loaded with all the crap that a lot, you know, Whole Foods is generally a lot better than a lot of other stores in terms of some cleaner products, but there's still some pretty deceptive marketing getting in there. Right. And having something like Poppy, like the thought of going back to a Coca-Cola, which I used to have a lot of when I was young. My big weakness actually was going to the movies and I'd get this giant frozen Coke, which must have about 70 grams of sugar. And then when I went and took my daughter, who's 4 years old, we went to the movies for the first time together, her first time ever at the movies. And we brought in a raspberry Poppy. We brought in some popcorn of our own and some Annie's cheddar bunnies. And that was, so Poppy was a part of us going to the movies for the first time together.
You know, what's really interesting about what you just said is that is the position of Poppy. And let me like break it down for you. So soda was invented by pharmacists back in the day to make you feel good, right? And then it's kind of evolved to soda is now an emotional connection you have to a memory. Hence, you just said a movie with your daughter, you know, type of situation. But people want that emotional. They want it soda with a cookout, soda with a burger, soda with, you know, at the movies. But they want that feeling without all of the excess sugar and the artificial ingredients. And so that's where we come in. We always say like Poppy's revolutionizing soda for the next generation. But it's really you get that full flavor. You get to have that emotional connection without all the guilt. That's literally like we tell everyone, we give you the freedom to love soda again at its best. So like that's literally like it makes so much sense. And like you saying that, I was like, that's literally our goal at Poppy.
And we would sit there at the dinner table, my wife and I, we would have a drink and our kids would be asked, you know, if we were having like a beer or a wine, not that we drink much, but they want to participate, be part of the community. Like you mentioned earlier, when we have something like a Poppy, we pour some out and then the kids love it as well. So it really is like a nice family bonding experience, which is not something we would do with alcohol. And it's absolutely not something that we would do with Coca-Cola.
And kids are obsessed.
Yeah.
Like really obsessed. And it's like you put a Poppy with your kids' lunch is better than an orange juice, right? With 5 grams of sugar versus, you know, 15 grams of sugar. So I think like I love that it can be a family drink. It can also not be, and it can be a great mixer too. You get your soda fix for sure.
For sure. The journey next for you going towards the farmer's market, what was that like? Just the mental battle of saying, you know what, I'm moving away from just giving it to friends and just making a few different flavors to saying, you know what, I'm going to go to the local farmer's market where a bunch of randoms are now going to be having my drink. What was that experience like?
So at that time, I was sick of being on the road. I was going through this health and wellness journey. I started drinking apple cider vinegar. I went gluten-free. I was like on this path to health and wellness. And I was like, okay, I'd gotten married. We were like, I want to start a family. Let's move to Dallas. We'll take 6 months off of work, which you can do in the oil and gas industry. It doesn't sound crazy, especially if you save right. And I was, I think, a week in and I got bored. And I saw a thing for like a local Dallas farmers market. I applied. I was like, I got to start selling. At the time, I called it my hooch. And I was like, I got to start sharing this. And it was like in mason jars. We had no nutritionals on it. And after only 3 weeks of being there, selling out week over week, you mentioned earlier Whole Foods, but one of the Whole Foods local foragers came by our booth, said, there's absolutely nothing like this in Whole Foods. You guys have to be in Whole Foods. And that was like the first moment I was like, oh, I have a business here. Like the light went on. And then I was like, it never went off. Like from that moment forward, I never went back to working in oil and gas. I made my husband never go back. We took our life savings. We just like went all in on this dream. It was kind of just like one of those aha moments at Poppy.
And were those just the big glass bottles or were you doing individual servings? What were you selling? What were the price points at that
time? Yeah, it was so funny. Like we were doing 12-ounce glass bottles. The name of the company at the time was called Mother Beverage. The vinegar count, like dosage was like way higher. We called it like rocket fuel. Like we didn't know any idea what we're doing. We were bottling it in our kitchen and all those things. But yeah, glass bottles. And I think it was around $4, you know, and we thought that was a steal.
Yeah. And we'll chat more about the rebrand a little bit later. But just as a, you know, as a man going to buy a drink, I don't know if seeing, you know, I am buying a pink Poppy, but if it had mother written on it and it was pink, then, you know, maybe a lot of men wouldn't be, you know, racing out to buy them. So I feel like the rebrand, like you go back and look at the, when you were on Shark Tank with Mother Beverage, it looks so interesting, the difference in the packaging that Rohan brought to the table.
It is big. And it's funny because we named it after the mother of vinegar. Mm-hmm. So like, it was like this health niche product. We were not really seeing the soda aspect of it at the time. We were really like leaning into like the health, but like when you really pigeon yourselves, if you have a product into that space, it's not for the mass. It's not for the kids. It's not for like what you're talking about or you want to take it to the movies. So I think at the time it was really great for that moment, but I don't think we would have ever gotten past Farmers Market if it wasn't for Shark Tank.
Yeah. And what feedback did you get that you listening to or you thought was interesting back in those farmers markets days, which I know wasn't very long before everything else really took off?
Yeah. So when we were at the farmers market, we had a very kind guy next to our booth, and he ran one of the local breweries. And he's like, look, you guys have something here. You're going to go into Whole Foods, which at the time was only 14 stores in Dallas. Let's be real. It wasn't like 350 across the nation. But he's like, you guys got to learn to mass produce this. And he taught us how to brew poppy like beer. And he helped us along the way. And he gave us, you know, tips on what tanks to get out of China. And we opened our own manufacturing facility. And at the time, I never recommend for anyone to manufacture yourself. It is, you should be focused on your brand and your marketing and not putting caps on bottles. But I love that moment in time because it gave us a really intimate understanding of how our product was made. And we're able to implement that now in our high growth of like, we know our product. I know what goes in it. I know I make this still type of situation. So
would you have been happy with a few steady sales at the farmer's market and that just being a bit of a side hustle?
I don't think we would have. You know, I think we were kind of at the point, and that was the desperation of going on Shark Tank, where it was like, we either get investment or we have to move on with our lives. Not that the passion wasn't there, but I mean, back in the day after we quit and put our life savings in, it was like bottling during the week. My husband was working a second job. Like we at the time had our firstborn, and I was, it was a little rough, like, you know, not being able to almost make the mortgage, the air conditioning, the car breaks, like you can't fix it. So it was that time where it was just like, we can't do this just like with our family and our growth. So it definitely was, you know, the door opened to Shark Tank and it changed my life.
Yeah. It's just committing to going to the farmer's market every week as well with the family.
In Texas, in 116 degree weather, coming from a warehouse with no air conditioning. No, it was a commitment. And I remember bottling multiple times, especially with our firstborn. I was pregnant, went into labor on the line, had the baby back on the line strapped with me 2 weeks later. Like it was, we were all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So you auditioned for Shark Tank. How did that opportunity unfold and how did you prepare for it, given some of the other things that were going on in your world?
Yeah. So it was funny. I saw on Instagram, Mark Cuban put up a post and he was like, Shark Tank in 3 days. And we did what, I mean, at the time I didn't know. I guess nowadays I've learned like a lot of people go on Shark Tank. They go on and they apply online and they don't go stand in line for 8 hours at the convention center. But that's what we did. And we stood in line for 8 hours and we pitched our hearts out in about 5 minutes. It's full elevator pitch with 10 booths and you have the people that this one person is deciding your future. And I remember pitching and he was like, this product's really good. You guys are amazing. I see really big things for you. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And from that moment to actually being on the show was about a 6-month process. So it was stressful because I was pregnant with our second. And so throughout this, I was just like, hopefully we get on and before I have this baby type of situation.
And what's the age difference between your three kids now?
I have 1, 5, and 7, but the older two are 22 months apart. So it was pretty quick back to back. Yeah.
So you're in the thick of it.
I am.
And now, yes, not present tense, not past tense.
What is sleep? Yeah, exactly.
For sure. We're just two parents here, tired, having a great conversation.
We're surviving.
And then you get to Shark Tank, the final stage. You're up there. Like, what are you doing to prepare at 9 months pregnant for this thing that will completely change the trajectory of your life? Or, you know, have you going back to the corporate world?
Yeah. I mean, we practiced our pitch probably 5,000 times. You had to do where you practice for the producers and they do a rigorous background check, make sure you're not like a felon or anything crazy like that. But I do think that throughout the process, we just learned and got really comfortable with being in front of the camera and on TV and doing all of that, which comes into play later on, which is amazing. But I think we got the call 2 weeks before and they were like, you're going to be on the show and we need you on at this date. And they tell you they have multiple recordings. And I was like on the last one. I was like, hello, 9 months pregnant. I literally had the baby 10 days after I went on the show. But I was very determined. Doctor approved it, went on, and they wake you up at like 4 a.m. in the morning and you're on set and you're waiting. And then you go in there and you're in there for an hour. And they're basically just like yelling at you for an hour. And it's very overwhelming. You almost like black out because it's like a lot of emotion.
Yeah. It's a rough day. And when you walked into the tank, were you able to have enough presence to, you know, look at them as individuals and really be present? Or were you just so focused on your pitch and a little bit overawed by the whole thing? And you guys crushed it. You did so good looking at the replays.
Oh, my poor husband, he has a sweaty, like, upper lip and you can see it coming down. He's just like, never live it down. That's like, all he can ever think about. And I'm like, we got a deal. Like, who cares?
Life's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, you really kind of just... It's tough because you have five people yelling at you. It is a TV show at the end of the day. So they're trying to make good TV. They're trying to poke at you. I think like at one point, Mr. Wonderful called me like an apple cider vinegar roach, which calling everyone a roach is his thing. But he would say it and sit back and then like smile. So it's like this interesting position that you're in where you're like, this could change my life, but also this is a TV show. Mm. But the producers, everything was so wonderful through it. And everybody, as we were on, started going out. And then it came down to the end, which it came down to Rohan Oza.
And how much did you know about Rohan beforehand?
Nothing. So they didn't tell us who the judges were until the night before. I knew he had been like a guest shark, but like, you don't know. He'd been, I think, on one or two other episodes, but that was why they were pushing the date. The producers wanted you to get a deal. They want you to be successful. They don't tell us, but they were trying to match us up with a beverage guy. And during the process, I guess we didn't see it happening, but like a couple other sharks were like looking at him like, do you want to go in on a deal? Do you like this? And he was like, no, no, no. Because in his head, he told us afterwards, he's like, I want this for myself. And so they all went out and then he came back in and was like, I want to give you guys a deal.
Incredible that he could see the vision there. I'm sure he's the best guy in the world in terms of beverage. He's structured well, like Smart Water and Vitamin Water with 50 Cent. He's done some of the biggest brand deals of all time. He is absolutely the right guy. If not, maybe the only Shark Tank who could understand the vision. And
100%. Yeah. And I think, you know, he told us this afterwards. He goes, this is going to be the biggest Shark Tank deal in history. And we are on that path for that to happen. And his nickname is called the Brand Father. And he just sees things so differently within the marketing and the sizzle world. And yeah, he was one of the first people to do big celebrity deals from 50 Cent, Vitamin Water, and Justin Timberlake and Bai. He had a traditional background. He worked at Coke. He worked on Sprite, you know, like certain things like that. So, and now he's just part of some of the most iconic Better For You brands as well. So you can ask for a better mentor. And he is very involved in Poppy. He's on our board. We do monthly sessions with him. That's the beauty of him versus some of the other sharks is I think like a Mark Cuban, he probably has hundreds of deals and has a team. Like I think Roe has two Shark Tank deals and we're the only food and bev. So we get a lot of his time, good or bad.
He tells you how it is.
We'll be back with the show shortly. I've got a quick question for you. Are you living up to your potential? It's a question that shapes your family, your business, and your overall happiness every single day. That's why I'm excited to introduce the Win the Day Quiz. Head over to winthedayquiz.com right now, answer a few thought-provoking questions, and you'll instantly discover how well you're performing relative to your true potential. And here's the exciting part for our Win the Day family. As a fan of the show, you'll receive a personalized and absolutely free action plan to help you win the day every day. Now, just imagine how transformational the results will be when you consistently show up as the best version of yourself in every aspect of your life. Don't miss out. Take the Win the Day quiz now by visiting winthedayquiz.com or click the link in the show notes. All right, let's get back to the show.
How long after did he start getting hands-on and start making all of these recommendations around branding, name change, which for you must have been a little bit probably daunting to say, look, we've had a little bit of success. We successfully got a deal on Shark Tank. We've had people in Whole Foods saying we need to get in there. Now you want to change the name of the company. You want to change the packaging. You want to do all these different things.
Yeah, it's funny. We'd actually presented to Whole Foods and they had accepted Mother Beverage in 7 regions of Whole Foods. So there's, I think, 10 or 11 regions of Whole Foods across the U.S. So we'd gotten to the majority of them. We were rolling out nationwide in Sprouts with Mother. And then we come in, we go on Shark Tank. We have this national commercial. And then he goes, guess what? I want to change the name and the packaging. We were like, you're crazy. But there was part like, this is why we partnered with him at the end of the day. And yes, it felt like, oh, this was our baby type of situation. But he said to us, look, you have a great founder story. You have a great liquid, but your branding sucks. And I'll be honest, we didn't spend a lot of time on it, nor did we know at that time really what that meant. So we took 9 months off from getting the deal to launching Poppy, and we did a total rebrand. It was me, my other founder, my husband, Steven, Rohan, and then his right-hand person called Stevie, who does like amazing rebrands and works with some of the best Kavu brands out there. So it was a pretty special and long process. And then changing the name was probably the biggest decision.
Yeah. And give us some overview for people who don't know about the what Poppy means, the name.
Yeah. So we named it off of Soda Pop. With it being Poppy, it's bright, it's colorful, it's happy, but really just like leaning into that Soda Pop life. And I would say like during the process, we were like, do we have to keep like nods to the mother? At one point we were like, do we call it Mom and Pop or Poppy by Mother? But then we realized like nobody really knows Mother. Like, let's start fresh. We did focus groups on whether the can should be white. Should they be color? Because if you think of white, you think of like healthy halo. You think of better for you. But you think of color and you scream taste. So it goes back to we didn't want to be like this healthy niche product. We wanted to be soda for the next generation. So it was a very purposeful decision to go with Poppy, to go with color, and then also to do a 12-ounce can. Because if you're going to be soda, you have to be soda.
I feel like you just nailed it with just everything you guys did with the branding. It's phenomenal. Do you ever think about how different your life would be if Rohan was not the shark on that episode that you attended?
I mean, I think about that sometimes, but I just feel like there were so many definitive moments throughout Poppy that got us to where we are today that even like this morning we were talking with, I was talking to Stevie and we were with Rohan last week and nobody has ever seen what is happening with Poppy right now. Like there's no, like Rohan has never seen this before. The type of growth, I mean, we launched in March of 2020, right when COVID hit, you know, March of this year will be 4 years. We are one of the fastest growing beverages in the history of beverage, right? Faster than Celsius, Red Bull, Monster, Essential Water, right? Like it's just, it's wild. So that's, it's almost like he's even like, holy crap, what is going on? Yeah.
It's so cool. Yeah. And you mentioned that you launched March 2020. For people who don't remember that, everything was moving so fast. I was out at dinner in Venice with some friends. There was a basketball game on in the background. And it was the night where things were canceled and everyone started to go home. I actually went to the Venice Whole Foods to grab some supplies because we had no idea what was going on. The shelves were completely bare apart from, you know, creamed corn and a few other things that no one really wants. You grab whatever you can get. There's no toilet paper left and you rush home to brace for whatever is going to happen. You're essentially launching a business in its new form for the first time. So it must have felt essentially like a new business. What's going through your mind as you're watching all this unfold?
You know, we were going through where this was like Expo West. It's in the CPG world or a food and bev world where it's like this big natural foods expo and it's in California, it's in Anaheim. And we had spent a ton of money on a booth for us at the time. It was a lot of money and it was our coming out party. I remember flying there. There was like 10 cases of COVID. Nobody at the time understood how big that was. We set up our booth and then they canceled it the next day. And we were just so devastated. It was like, this was it. We've been working. We got our deal. By that time, it had been almost, 9 months past. But looking back, COVID hitting right when we launched, it was a blessing. Not that COVID was a blessing for anything, but for the first time ever, everyone was thinking about their health and wellness. The entire world was like, oh, wow, maybe I should rethink what I'm putting into my body. On top of that, Poppy is shelf stable. So you could pantry load with it with a year shelf life. Right. And then we were available on Amazon. So you could digitally get us at any time, anywhere. When grocery stores, people were scared to go there. Instacart wasn't so up and running and ready to rock like it is today. And then they were concerned with getting toilet paper on the shelf. So it ended up the timing being about right. And then the digital piece going into it within TikTok and some other things that made it kind of all the things came together at the same time.
Tell us about Amazon. The number one best-selling soda on Amazon, like we mentioned at the start, is crazy. What are some of the things that you and the team did to make that happen?
So from day one, we decided Amazon. So we are not a D2C company. A lot of people think Amazon is a D2C company, but we sell 100% on Amazon, and we made that decision day one. And is what that has done is it has reduced like having to worry about having our own, you know, line where people call and returns, and you know, you don't have to worry about all of that stuff. You have a platform that's already in what, 86% of households in America. And it's a digital place that people want shipping in 2 days or less, if not now, same day on Amazon, right? So that was a very strategic day one. We were going to do Amazon, and we see it as like a trial mechanism, marketing mechanism. So we have, I think, like over 30,000 reviews, and it's just a place that we see as such a good steward of like our brand and brand building. So we do, for over a year and a half, we've been the number one selling soda on Amazon, outselling Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, like all of these big boys. And it's because we are a digital first brand. We, back in 2019, did an update on Shark Tank of what Poppy was, and it aired in April 2020, second month of lockdown, on a Friday night when everyone was stuck at home. It was basically a national commercial. So we went from our first month launching at $7,000, I think, on Amazon to over $250,000 just like month two. And it kept growing and kept growing. So we're like, oh, this digital first, this talking to the community, being disruptive, thinking about things differently was just part of our DNA from day one.
Was it hard for you and your husband to stop looking at the numbers in terms of sales every single day? You'd be looking at it like every, like refreshing constantly.
It was like Vegas. I mean, yeah. I still do it every day. Like, it's not stopping. Like last night, we had our first national commercial on The Bachelor premiere last night, and we were just watching like the SEO search and like the Amazon sales like spike. It's just like, I still do it every day. I can't help myself.
That's so cool. Why didn't Coca-Cola allocate everything they had to just destroying everything that you had built?
I don't know. You know, I think up until now, they're probably like, who are these people? Right? They have so many other focuses. And I'm sure there's been a lot of stories like ours that aren't sustainable. You know, I mean, you take the kombucha craze, right? It was like skyrocketing, and now it's plateaued. And now there's only like a few last standing players. But it's like one of those things where I think they've been around long enough to be like, let's see. And now I will say, Poppy is here to stay. We're not going anywhere. We're seeing it in our data. We're seeing it with the consumer and the community. So that long-term like soda. So we'll see if they come for us next.
International expansion, is that a thing to sort of Europe, Asia, Australia? I know Australia is a tough one because we're quite isolated.
No, we would love to do that. So we are in Canada and we are killing it. We had literally yesterday one of the, they only have like one or two grocery stores there. It's very easy distribution in Canada. And they called us and said, in the last 14 years of me doing this, I've never seen a brand grow this quick. You know, and we're launching in Mexico. We do really well in Costco. So Costco has a lot of presence. So we can test markets at those Costcos before we launch and just be, you know, very careful with it. But I mean, we're only 3.5 years old. We have a lot of work to do here in America. So that's our number one focus.
Yeah, I feel like Amazon and Costco will be good strategic partners internationally too.
100%.
Yeah, given their distribution and just massive space.
It's the label. You have to change the in Canada, you have to have French labels. So it usually comes down to if you want to, like, the ops team can handle it and whether you want to put resources to having, you know, we already have like 20 SKUs. Do you want to have 40? It just gets logistically a little bit of a nightmare. So it's kind of one of those like crawl before you walk.
And let's break it down, business and then mindset. So what are the biggest business lessons that you've had along this journey?
I think as an entrepreneur and within who we are in our DNA at Poppy, of being this like really scrappy, chaotic, fast growing, like nobody knows what the future is. I've seen a lot of people come into Poppy and can't handle that situation. And those that can are high performers, okay with chaos. And so that's been a really interesting lesson for anyone coming into Poppy to learn, is like, this is rare air. Nobody in their career has ever dealt with anything that's happening right now. So learning through that and that changes is okay. And then for me on the other end, that I don't know anything. This is all I know, right? This chaos, and I love it. And I'm like thriving of like, oh, Allison, you should maybe like put some process in place and trust these people around you and learn as an entrepreneur how to get your ego in check and do a lot of like leadership growth within me. So it's an interesting dynamic to watch.
And what about mindset for you in terms of just what this has taught you about you know, maybe it is persistence or resourcefulness. There are certain qualities or attributes that really stand out in terms of what it takes to succeed. And you know, you're creating history here, which is so cool.
Yeah. So we always talk about culture. Culture is a really big thing at Poppy. And I lead our culture of every interview. Everyone has to go through like a culture assessment to make sure they're a fit, because that's honestly more important than what your resume looks like, that you're part of the culture and that it's important. So like one of them is one of our culture pillars is like we keep it real. So like I'm a very real, authentic, like open book, and I don't have time for like gossiping or talking behind people's backs. Like we're here. It's like community. We're doing this together. So can you take feedback and keep it real and move on and not get your feelings hurt? Right. I'm never malicious, but it's like one of those things. And a lot of people are like, well, what does that mean? You can totally get flustered. I'm like, okay, maybe you're not a good fit. Or like we're creative, right, is another pillar. So you have to be disruptive. You have to think creatively. And some people might say, oh, marketing, sure. Creative, sure. But we went viral last year in April and we sold out everywhere. And our ops department had to get really creative on how to get us back in shelf really freaking quick. So I always say like, you can be really creative and then it's like important to do it all together. So I think, you know, leaning into the culture is really important and making sure that we have the right people at the right place at the right time and all that good stuff.
Hey, it sounds like good advice. And your husband, Stephen, what does he bring to the table that you don't?
Everything that I'm not good at.
It's a good compliment then. The
it's
perfect
a
team.
Wonderful compliment. Yeah. So like I'm the crazy, chaotic, creative, visionary. Like I can push people to do and think so differently. He's like, okay, let's get a budget. Like, let's get the spreadsheets out. Let's like have a business plan. He runs our ops and he runs our investor relations and raising money and like all the things that I don't want to do and supply chain and innovation. And he's amazing at it. And he's incredible. And he has such a passion for it as well. And I see the value in what he does and he sees the value in what I do. And we kind of like, how do we support each other to be successful?
It's so good. Most of the relationships that I've seen lately, I'm noticing this trend. I can see it in my own as well. It's like the one person in the relationship experiences the highs a little bit higher. They feel the lows a little bit more. And then there's someone else in the relationship who's a bit more stable, a bit more analytical. And I think that's a good team.
Yeah, he's a little bit more stable. I will say like, it is a good team. Like even in our marriage, like for example, a few years ago with how quick we were growing, we have three kids, like, you know, keep saying this word chaotic. At one point I was like, we don't go on dates anymore. We don't do like the typical marriage stuff because anytime we're out, we're at work or at a board meeting or a client dinner. And I said, you know what? That's okay. Like we don't need to put extra pressure on us to then like now add in extra, like where are my flowers on Valentine's Day? The second we kind of like let that go, life got a lot easier. And then like when those moments naturally occur, it's way more special. So I think like taking that pressure away, not that we don't care. And like, yes, marriage is very important to us. But I think it's that partnership and letting go of the like stigma of what I think a lot of people think in marriage. So it's been nice. It's been relief.
That's so good. What about where kids are involved? I mean, you have investor money, you've got a lot of your own money, a lot of sweat equity that you've put into this business. How do you balance these competing priorities between your own individual aspirations? You mentioned your marriage there, time with your kids, making sure they're free, as well as everything with the business.
I will not say that I'm like amazing at it, and I just try my best. I think like as any parent that says like they're perfect and they have it together, like they're lying.
But you know, it's so funny you said that. Every holiday card I see, including my own, especially after all the experiences that we've had, this beautiful looking holiday card, things are just going crazy. Every beautiful holiday photo with young kids behind the scenes, everything's going crazy. So, yeah,
I don't even try for one anymore. I'm like, I'll do it like 3 years when things calm down. I'm like, it's just like giving yourself grace, I think, is like the most important thing. And then like having people like me that are like real and authentic about it, be like, it's hard. I'm tired. I wish I had more time for my kids. I wish I had more time for Poppy, you know, and all of it's okay. It's not going to be perfect.
There's a good friend of mine who's come on the show, shout out Dr. Jeff Spencer, who says if you do spend so much time with your kids, which of course is important, but if you don't give them the time to themselves and they will only perform when you're there. And I think that's so interesting. So sometimes just giving them a little bit of space to be able to figure it out and develop it on their own means they'll be able to perform without the expectation of you being there. I think it's such a great lesson. Yeah. As a parent, when you feel guilty about traveling, it's nice just to know that you're teaching resilience for your kids without even meaning to.
I think it's harder on us than them.
Yes.
Honestly, I'll like FaceTime them and they're like, "What, Mom?" I'm like, "I miss you." And they're like, "I got to go. My friends are here." So I do think it is harder on us than them.
For sure. The first speech I had to do that I was traveling to after becoming a father was during COVID. And I had a mask on the plane, which just makes you feel horrible as it is. And I had this, almost gave me this big panic attack at 30,000 feet, just the parent guilt of just leaving your kids. Like, yeah, I think you're 100% right that we are a lot harder on ourselves than we need to be. Kids, that they bounce back so fast.
They do. And if you have a good support system, which we do at home, my mom gets to take care of them. So like now when I'm like, I'm leaving, I'm be gone for a bit. I'm going to New York, LA. They're like, bye. Like there's no crying. And that's when you know, like things are good. Yes, there might be some tears sometimes, but it's like, if they're just like, okay, we'll see you later.
For sure. For sure.
They're happy little things.
And social media has been a really big thing for you, as you touched on earlier, with that sort of digital first strategy. What are some of the things that you're doing in terms of TikTok, which I know has been a great channel for you, just in terms of being able to get the awareness out there and turn that awareness into sales?
Yeah. So Poppy was one of the first brands to get on TikTok back in, I think I downloaded that back in 2019 when it was just a lot of what they call dancers and young kids. But I saw it as an opportunity to break through on a new digital landscape that to build that community and to touch people in such a different way that wasn't traditional marketing. So I didn't really quite know at first how to do it. So I spent about 2 months literally making random videos. I did like recipe videos. I danced. I did ingredients. I did BTS in the office trying to get people to like get in them with me. I made my husband do them. I made my kids get them. And what I realized about the whole process is, you know, one night I sat down on a Friday night. I told my story of Shark Tank and my health journey and like why I created Poppy, and I hit post and I went to bed and I woke up the next day. We did $100,000 while we were sleeping. We'd gone viral with over 1 million views just well that night. And then the grocery store shelves were cleared. And I remember everyone was calling like, what is going on? And I'll be honest, I did not have a lot of support from board level down to get on TikTok. They're just like, Allison, IG is where it's at. Like Instagram, like this is where you need to be. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to take any resources from the company. I will do TikTok on my own. And then it went viral. Let's say the tune of that changed real quick. And now they're like, how do we support TikTok? And we leaned in. But I think the key to it was I was real authentic and low produced. And just, I was a mom talking to other people.
People want that authenticity now, don't they? We're done with all just the overly edited Photoshop stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much so that like TikTok reached out to me after that. And they were like, hey, not a lot of brands are doing this. We'd love to film a commercial of like how brands should be on the platform. So I advise and I'm part of like a TikTok creator chapter on like the future and like how to get more brands and to understand it. And really, everyone always is like, what is the secret sauce? Like, how do you do it? And it's like, if I could tell you how to go viral, I'd be a billionaire. But is what I can tell you is you just have to get on and post.
For sure.
It's literally that easy. And it's really hard for people to get over that mentality of people are going to make fun of me or I might say something stupid. But at the end of the day, nobody really cares. And if you're doing it, it's a free marketing mechanism for your brand. Start now.
Agreed. Our show now has had about 44 million views in terms of social media views and all that. I feel like you need to be a user on these platforms. 100%. Like you need to know what they're doing. You need to be consistent because these algorithms change so much. And there's also a degree of randomness that you just, like you said, you can't, all these people are saying, here's how to go viral. Here's how to go viral. No one knows. If you knew that, you'd be doing the viral posts rather than just telling everyone how to do it.
If you try to go viral, like you're going to be disappointed. Like the stuff that you spend the more time on and you plan out and like the content is like it never works rather than me Friday night sitting at home and hitting post and waking up and be like, oh my gosh, what just happened? But that's one of the number one pieces of advice that when I'm speaking to other marketers is the strategy has to come from the top down. So every day with my coffee in the morning, a lot of people might, you know, read the news or scroll, mindless scrolling. I am researching what is trending. I am saving sounds. I'm seeing what other brands are doing. I'm seeing like what big influencers are saying and doing. I'm like on the platform researching it. And so the strategy for TikTok is coming from me to the team versus a lot of brands nowadays. They hire like a young intern and expect them to go super viral when there's no strategy, there's no support, there's no like paid versus organic strategy in it. And it's just, it's really hard if you're going to do that. You have to take the platform serious.
So true. Agree 100%. What is next for Poppy that you're most excited about? Any new flavors on the horizon?
We are so excited. So what we're doing here this week is we're launching our wild berry flavor. We're doing an exclusive line with 7-Eleven. So we are upgrading Poppy to a 16 ounce.
Yeah, good.
I know. I'm so excited. So
good visibility for the shelf space as
well. It is. It was honestly like a merchandising strategy. So like our little cans in convenience, like 7-Eleven, it gets lost. And so we were for a long time trying to figure out how to do it. And we were just like, let's go 16 ounce. I mean, people are already drinking Poppy by the gallons. Why not?
Give them what they want.
So
gallon Poppy's coming soon.
We're so excited because they always say like men gulp, women sip. So the convenience is more real.
You've seen me drinking.
So we need to get you a 16 ounce. Yes. So we're so excited leaning into that this year. And then, you know, we have some other exclusive flavors, which I know I can tell you, you'll be the first person I'll say, but we are dropping our lemon lime as well very soon in the next few months.
Yeah,
and
good.
That is like our last, well, one of our last big, like us versus big soda, like going after like Sprite, 7-Up, like, you know, all of those, getting your lemon lime. And it's delicious. It's so good. It's refreshing. Tastes just like it. It's so good. The colors, the green, we're going green and yellow, leaning in hardcore, and it's going to be pretty epic.
You got to meet the people where they're at, and then you can move them towards the other more random flavors.
It's so good. And, you know, and so it's almost like within like retailer expansion, you know, gives you opportunity to have more shelf space. If you have more flavors, and we do like some LTOs and some fun stuff like that coming up. But Poppy, really, it's funny because everyone's like, where is Poppy sold? And now it's like this year, it's about basically where are we not sold, right? Like it's almost like easier to say, but I think we're going to focus on Walmart. We have our Target. We have our Kroger's. We have all of these like really amazing retailers to partner with these new flavors.
For sure. Well done. A question I'm asking entrepreneurs more and more, because I think this inner battle is really important. What do you love most about yourself?
Ooh, my favorite thing about myself is my ability to daydream and get people to daydream bigger. I really think that's one of my core strengths, and I probably do it too much, but I do love that about myself.
Yeah, what an interesting response. I think that's really cool. I love it. And final question before the rocket round. On your best day, what's an affirmation that you would write on a flashcard that you could show yourself on your worst day?
I would say, like, you are smart. Mm.
Well, let's move into the Win the Day rocket round. 10 questions with some quick answers. You up for this?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Number one, what quote inspires you the most?
I would say, I don't know who it's by, but your real friends talk crap to your face and they talk good about you behind your back.
That's so good. Number two, morning coffee or evening wine?
Both, but I'd have to pick coffee.
Number three, what's one bit of advice you'd give your 18-year-old self?
I think it goes back to what you said, or I said a second ago, is you are smart and you can do great things and you don't need a crazy college education to be a successful entrepreneur.
Hey, true that. Number four, what book do you gift the most, or is there a book that contributed most to the mindset you have today?
So I don't love like reading books or the self-help just because I'm obsessed with podcasts. Mm-hmm. So I feel like now in the digital era, it's all about sharing the podcast and what you love. And for me, it's staying up on the news from the Journal to the Daily to Pat Lencioni to Win the Day. So for me, it's all about podcasts.
It's a good point because you have to get the information. That's it. Something that you can get inspired by, something that you can go and implement in your own way. If that's a book, if that's a podcast, if that's a movie, do it. Whatever you can, you've got to level up.
You can do it while doing the dishes, right? Like you can listen while getting ready in the morning. So it's what I love.
For sure. Hey, I'm not just a podcaster. I'm also a big podcast listener too. Number five, was there a vulnerability you once hid within that became your superpower?
Yeah, I think my craziness, right? I like the daydreaming and pushing people and thinking bigger. I used to think like, Allison, you're just like crazy. No one will listen. And now I see it as like one of my core strengths.
Yeah, now they're starting to listen, aren't they?
Exactly.
Number six, what's one thing you've learned about failure?
Oh, fail often. I know that that's like a boring quote that everyone always says, but I think the biggest thing when it comes to failure is that you learn from it. And I failed a lot and I've learned a lot over the last few years.
Number seven, if you could sit on a park bench and have a conversation with someone alive or dead, who would it be?
Oh, goodness. This one's hard, but I would have to say Dolly Parton, which is people don't understand how iconic she is and how much of an inspiration. I think she's one of the third most loved celebrities in the world, but you should listen to some stuff on her. She's pretty inspirational.
Very cool. Number eight, what tool or resource best helps you run your life or your business?
Yeah, so content's a huge piece at Poppy. So I love any content editing or strategy that you can use within like a Planoly or a Splice or a Cape Cut to edit videos. Now it's all in the palm of your hand on your phone.
It certainly is. Yeah, no excuses. Number nine, share one thing on your bucket list.
Oh, this one's hard. It's like I've had opportunity to do a lot of things on my bucket list. I think for me, it would probably learn to do a sport, like play a low impact. Like I love pickleball, tennis, or golf or something like that. I don't know if I'll be the best, but I actually really want to.
Awesome. And final question, number 10, what's one thing you do to win the day?
I would say I get up every single day, I dream big, and I stay very positive.
So good. Well, there are a bunch of ways to connect with Allison and Poppy, and we'll link to all of these in the show notes. You can follow Allison on Instagram at Allison Ellsworth, follow Poppy on Instagram and TikTok at Drink Poppy, and of course, order some delicious Poppy of your own at drinkpoppy.com. Again, all of that and more will be linked in the show notes. Allison, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the Win the Day podcast. We want to hear your thoughts on what we covered today, so drop a comment on the YouTube version of this episode with your favorite takeaway, any questions you have, or what actions you'll be taking as a result of what was shared in this episode. And if you found value in the Win the Day podcast, leave a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You'll find a link to both of those in the show notes. It'll only take you a few seconds, and more ratings really helps other people discover the show so they can get the mindset upgrade they need, and we can bring more winners into the Win the Day movement. That's all for this episode. Get out there and win the day. Until next time, onwards and upwards, always.